Good evening, everyone, and it's good to see you at our Sunday evening service. So we do welcome you along, and of course a special welcome to our speaker tonight, Matthew Payne, and his wife Ruth. Welcome you down, and come all the way down from Wassaymouth. So trust that you've had a good journey down, and you'll enjoy your time as you minister to us, as you minister with us this evening. Let's continue to worship the Lord then as we sing. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Let's rise. Sing, if you want to use the hymn book, it's number 7 in the New Redemption Hymns. So, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. Let's rise and sing.
My great Redeemer's praise, my great
John writes, "After this, I heard what seemed to be a loud voice and a great multitude in heaven crying out, 'Hallelujah! Salvation, the glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of his servants.' Once more they cried out, 'Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever.' And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who was seated on the throne, saying, 'Amen, hallelujah.' From the throne came a voice saying, 'Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great.'" Amen. Let's pray together. So God and Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for bringing us here tonight into the house of the Lord. And we ask you to bless our time together. It's good that we have the freedom to meet together in this fashion, to worship and to praise you, Heavenly Father, and to hear your word. And we give you thanks, Lord God. Thank you for bringing our speaker and his wife safely along for Lossiemouth tonight, Lord. We just pray that you'd help Matthew as he ministers and give him a fresh anointing of your spirit. It's his first time here. We pray you help him to be at peace, Heavenly Father, and to share your word faithfully this evening, we pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word, which is as relevant for us today as it has been in any age, Heavenly Father, down through the years. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And we pray that you'd speak to us in a very real and personal way from your word this evening. Lord, speak to our hearts, we ask it, Lord. May we be challenged, Heavenly Father. May we be encouraged. May we be drawn closer to you, Heavenly Father. You know where we're all at in our state, in a stage of our relationship with you, we pray. So, Lord, speak to our hearts. We ask it this evening. Heavenly Father, bless the ministry of the word in other places tonight. We're mindful of Norman as he's preaching over at the Bodham Evangelical Church. We pray you'd be with him and bless his ministry there too, we pray. Give him much liberty as he preaches, we pray. Thank you for all your goodness and blessings and mercies to us, Heavenly Father, for the way you lead and guide us and you protect us and you're with us through the fiery trials, Lord. Sometimes you don't save us from the trials, but you save us through the trials. You bring us through. Very often that's the way you work, Heavenly Father, and all for your glory. So, Lord, let us be mindful of that as we face the week that lies ahead. Thank you for all your goodness to us, and thank you most of all for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you've spoken to us from your word, and you've revealed yourself most of all through in and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the only Saviour of mankind. Thank you, he came to this world, a world which had turned its back on you, Heavenly Father, but the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we thank you that he lived a perfect life, and he who knew no sin and became sin for us. He took the punishment and the penalty that we deserve at the cross at Calvary and paid the price, and he paid the debt we could never pay in and of ourselves, and he died and he rose again. It is finished, this was his cry, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the perfect work of Christ at the cross at Calvary. Thank you, he's risen from the dead, he's alive forevermore, seated at your right hand. And we worship and we adore you this evening, Heavenly Father, for such a perfect plan of salvation, for a great hope for all who know and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. Lord, thank you for sending your Spirit, and may we, your people, be filled with your Spirit. We do pray that the word tonight, as it's preached, will be backed up by the power of the Holy Spirit. Make it real to us, we pray, and draw us closer to you, we pray. Lord, we pray for our nation this evening. It's in such a mess. And we just pray for our leaders, Lord, that you'd intervene in the situation at this time. And we do pray for a healing for the nation, for direction for the nation, but most of all for a spiritual and a moral healing and a turning back to you in these days. For people, Lord, to be broken and to get on their knees and to pray and seek you, Lord God, while you may be found. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for that you do hear and answer our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for all your goodness and blessings to us, for the measure of health and strength you give us, enabling us to gather here. Be with us, be with those who are not able to be here tonight for whatever reason, Lord. Just undertake for them. And again, bless the pastor and his wife and family at this time. And we do pray, Lord, you'd bring him back to us in a couple of weeks' time, Lord. He's ready to minister your word again, rested and refreshed, Lord, and ready to begin the work of taking the gospel to others, we pray. So hear us this evening, Heavenly Father, and bless our time together. May all that's said and done here be pleasing to you and bring glory to your name. And we ask all these things in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, the only Saviour of mankind. Amen. We've got a hymn now, 326. It's an older hymn, I think. Are you looking for the fullness of the blessing of the Lord in your heart and life today? Let's rise and sing 326. Chorus says, he will fill your heart today to overflowing. So the Lord commandeth you, bring your vessels not a few. Let's rise and sing together. promise, yet Father come according to his mind in the blessed old time way. Fill your heart today to overflowing, as you open, if you bring your vessels to me. Heart today to overflowing, with the Holy Ghost and empty earthen vessels with Jesus' precious blood, come in thee one and all. And in human consecration wait before the throne of God, till the Holy Ghost shall fall. He will fill your heart today to overflow, as the Lord commanded you, bring your vessels not a few. Fill your heart today to overflowing with the Holy Ghost above. Like the cruise of oil and failing into the moon and his light unchanging still. And according to his promise with the Holy Ghost and power, he will every vessel fill. He will fill your heart today to overflowing, as the Lord commandeth you, bring your vessels not to few. He will fill your heart today to overflowing, with the Holy Ghost and power. I've got one or two announcements then, just to make sure you get a copy of the bulletin, the new bulletin today. So just during the week, just draw your attention. There's another midweek, the usual meetings are on. There's a midweek meeting. We had Graham Young from Inverallachie last Wednesday. Graham will be back, God willing, a week on Wednesday. He couldn't have managed this week, so he'll be ministering, he's ministering elsewhere actually, but we'll have a DVD presentation, The Significance of the Lord's Table. That's a topic that's come up recently in the fellowship here. So 7:30 is our midweek meeting. And then next Sunday, speaker, the sabbatical time's drawing to a close, but we've got speaker for the next couple of Sundays, Steve Taylor from the Hillview Baptist Church in Aberdeen. Like Matthew here, he's one of the Scottish Baptist lay preachers. So we look forward to his ministry next Sunday morning. And then we've got a table tea and testimony evening. It's you can come down at 5:30 for a cup of tea and a fancy piece. And Ian Ross, who's no stranger to us, of course, that he's well known and well loved by us here in the fellowship. He's going to come and share, much the same way that Ruth Wilson did a few weeks ago. So tables, teas and testimonies with Ian Ross at 6:00 next Sunday evening. And an advance notice, a week tomorrow, Monday the 27th, 7:30, Monday the 25th rather, at 7:30, it's the children's meet, 6:30 I should say, children's meeting at Price Giffin. Okay, so I think these are all the announcements that I need to make. Just keep up to date with what's going on in the bulletin. Well, it's great to have Matthew with us this evening. Matthew is the youth pastor at the Lossiemouth Baptist, so we're looking forward to your ministry. In a moment, Matthew will come up and share with us. But we're going to sing one more time, 470, 470. Great God of wonders, all your ways are matchless, godlike and divine. We'll rise and sing 470, and we'll hand over to Matthew. Thank you.
Good evening, good evening. It's good to be with you. As Andrew said, I'm from Lossiemouth Baptist. I'm their youth pastor or youth worker, whatever name you want to use. It's the same job at the end of the day. And I've been doing that for about 4 or 5 years. And before that, I did an internship with the church. And before that, I worked for a company called AM Phillips. And you might recognize they had a garage out at Memsey, just on the crossroads. Some of you might have driven past that garage. So I used to work up this neck of the woods sometimes when they would call me from Huntley to come and work at Fraserburgh. So I have been to Fraserburgh quite a few times, but never to the Baptist Church. So greetings from Lossiemouth Baptist. We are, at the moment, pastor-less. You'd say our pastor, Reverend Ray McKenzie, left in the summer of last year. And so we haven't had a pastor for a year. So we've been a bit like yourself. When you've had sabbatical, we've had lots of different speakers and preachers come in every week. And so we have been blessed by that. And I hope you have been in your sabbatical. And in my experience at Lossie, when Ray went on his sabbatical a few years ago, is that he did really come back fired up and full of the Spirit of God. So I pray that for your pastor as well. And we really hope that when your pastor comes back, it really is with fresh insight and vision and wisdom from the Lord. And I do pray that you have a really good season when he does come back. We're not the only Baptist church that's vacant at the minute. Apparently, Nairn's vacant, and also Bucky Baptist as well. Gavin Hunter from Bucky has gone away, so I'm preaching there in a few weeks as well. But it's great to come to different churches and to speak. I've been to quite a few Baptist churches locally, so thank you for the invitation. It's great to be with you. Shall we pray? And then we'll look at God's word. We're going to look at a passage that's all about Jesus. We want to look at his life tonight. Father, I thank you. Thank you that you're here, that you're in this room. I thank you for the diehards, the people that have come out tonight, the committed ones in this church. Father, I just pray that you would really bless them tonight for their attendance, for coming out. Father, I thank you for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy that's over us, that we can freely meet in your presence, that in your presence all our sin, all our shame is washed away. Thank you for the work that you've done on the cross, that you've saved us, that redeemed us, that you have given us hope and a future. Thank you that everything we see here is temporary, and that we have a beautiful future with you. I pray that as we look at your word this evening, that you would just teach us your ways. Help us to see the character of Jesus tonight as we look at this passage in John, and help us to see how Jesus lives and how he acts. Help us to see the character of God and how God is and what Jesus looks like being God on earth. Father, I pray that as we go to work tomorrow or whatever the role we do in our home lives, in our society, in our jobs, that Father, I pray that you would just be with us tomorrow, that you would go with us, that we would take you into all the situations and places that we go to, that we might live for your glory, that we might shine for you, that people might see you in us. Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit as we gather around your word, as we feed from your word this evening. I pray that you would just equip me right now with everything I need to minister to your people, precious people, the people here in Fraserburgh Baptist. So bless this church, we pray. We pray for the pastor, he's away on sabbatical. Lord, I pray that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would fill him with new insights from your word, things he's never seen and experienced before. I pray that you'd really bless this church, that you would build this church, that you would grow this church, that you would give this church an even greater passion and depth and deepness for your name and for your glory. So bless us as we look at your word just now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight I want to look at John's gospel. And I love John's gospel because John does something different in his gospel from the other three. And you'll know that. We call the other three the synoptic gospels. And synoptic basically means it's the general summary gospel. And so that's what they kind of call the other three. But John's gospel is slightly different. John's gospel is about the bigger picture. It's about symbolism. It's about understanding the meaning of the teachings and the things that are recorded. John wants to go a step further from the others. He doesn't just tell you what happened. He tries to explain why things happen, and he tries to explain some of the deeper things that are going on. And so by taking this different approach, John actually gives us more power when you couple his one with the other three. So actually he gives the other three more power because his is slightly different, and with his being slightly different, it gives you more power. It gives the gospel itself more power because there's something bigger going on with John and with his message all the time. And so tonight we're going to look at John 2, verses 1 to 12, if you've got a Bible, turn with us. It's a familiar passage, I'm sure you all know it. It's in my Bible, it says, Jesus changes water into wine. And that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at the life of Jesus, the example of Jesus. We want to copy the life of Jesus with our lives. And so we want to look at that tonight. So if you've got a Bible, John 1, beginning at verse 1. We're told, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. And Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied. My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And so they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. And they did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants knew who had drawn the water, they knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. What Jesus did here in Cana in Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there for a few days. So we're going to look at this passage tonight. We're going to look at the passage of a wedding and Jesus attending a wedding. I love weddings. I don't know about you. I hope you love our weddings. We've got three or four to attend this year, me and Ruth. We've got one in Crete, which that's the biggest we've got to go to this year for a wedding, and we're looking forward to that. And I've been to heaps of weddings. I've got 24 cousins. I've got huge families on both sides. My mum and dad were one of five on both sides, both Christian families, both in the Brethren. And so we've had lots and lots and lots of big weddings over the years. And so weddings have played a massive part in my life and in the greater life of my big family with all these cousins. And Ruth and I, we got married last year. And I'm pleased to say we had a lovely day. Nothing went wrong. We prayed to the Lord that everything would go well, and it went well, and we didn't lack anything, and thankfully everything went to plan, and we had a lovely day, and it was really, really good. And I have to say, it's much easier to attend a wedding than it is to plan your own. Even though Ruth did most of the work, I've got to say, it's still a very, very stressful day. So I'm much more looking forward to attending weddings from now on than organizing and planning any. But marriage is God's idea. And marriage is good. And we know that. And weddings stem from the celebration of life to the full as God intended. Marriage is that beautiful thing created by God to bless us, but it's also to display his glory. Paul in Ephesians 5 talks about marriage displaying Christ's love and the relationship between Christ and the church. And so here we have in John 2, the Son of God attending a wedding. Jesus here is attending a wedding. And too often we have the view that God is boring, that God wants to take the fun out of life, that God is a bit of a taskmaster. This is the first week that Jesus has in ministry. He's just called the disciples, and this is their first week in ministry. And the first thing they do is they take the week off to attend a wedding. And Jesus only has 3 years of ministry. For many of us, we have way more than 3 years of ministry. We have sometimes 40 or 50 years of ministry, depending on when we're saved. But Jesus only had 3 years of ministry. I often think that I'm not even 30 years old yet, and Jesus didn't even start his ministry till 30. And yet he had such an impact in those 3 years. And Jesus taking time off to go to a wedding, what it actually means practically, it means that there's people that could have been healed, and there's people that could have been taught, but they weren't taught because Jesus took the week off. And sometimes we need to get our head around that idea that Jesus isn't a taskmaster. Jesus is relational. Jesus is relational. I don't know if the first slide is up there, but this is a slide. This is a slide we did a glow-in-the-dark theme night with our young people, and one of the leaders put this with the glow sticks on the dark, and it's such a true thing. Jesus loves a party. Jesus loves to be involved in a celebration. God is a God that celebrates life and life to the full. Jesus is not a taskmaster. He's relational. Christianity is not about getting the job done. It's not about getting people saved. It's about relationships. Our relationship with God, our relationship with each other. And it's those relationships that bring people to Jesus. They bring people to be more like Jesus. They bring people on. It's those relationships that are discipleship. And so here we see that Jesus attends the wedding he's been invited to. Why? Because he's relational. And this really happened 2,000 years ago. We have a date, we have a time, we have a place. John is recording this for us. This is a wedding party that's taking place. I don't know how much you know about Jewish wedding ceremonies, but they have many stages. The whole village gets involved. The parties last between 5 and 7 days. I'm glad I'm not organizing that one. One day is more than enough. But you can just imagine the joy and the excitement when the whole village gets involved for 5 to 7 days. This is a big, big deal to the Jews and to that culture. And we're told that Jesus and his disciples are there. And this is actually strange when you look at this story, because Jesus never lived in Cana. So he's not a local. He lived in Nazareth and Capernaum. So Jesus is not from here. So he's not a local. And there's no mention that he's related to the family. So there's no reason, really, that Jesus should be here. He's not a family member and he's not a villager. So why is he at the wedding? Why does he go? The answer is because he was invited. So the first thing we learn from this story, when we look at this story, is why did Jesus go to the wedding? Why did he take that week off when he could have been preaching, teaching, and doing things? Jesus goes to the wedding because he was invited. That's a principle for our lives, that Jesus goes where he's invited. Jesus comes into our lives if he's invited. That's how we get saved. Jesus goes where he's invited. It means that Jesus is with you when you're at Tesco's. It means he's with the mum who's got those two crazy screaming kids and she's trying to do things. You know, I know of so many parents who, before they had their kids, were, they felt they had so much more time to do ministry and so much more time with God, and then suddenly you have kids and your life gets crazy and gets so busy, and some people think that, oh, God's not in it. But God is with you when you have children. He's with you when you're at Tesco's. He's with you when you're doing the shopping. He's with you when you're at work. He's with you when you're at home chilling on the sofa, even though you think you're being a little bit lazy watching TV. He's with you on nights out. I remember a couple years ago, I was at a stag do in Dublin, and I prayed when I went over. I said, Lord, wouldn't it be great if we could have a God encounter over here? And God gave me two. I prayed for one, and I got two. That just shows the character and the goodness of God. If you invite God, he will come. Wherever the situation, whatever the circumstance, God will come. God will come into your life. And so the challenge for us is, when we do ministry, do we invite Jesus? Or do we just do it without him? It's possible to do ministry, and it's possible to do life without Jesus. I've been doing ministry now for nearly 10 years. I was saved when I was 17, 18 years old, so that shows my age. I'm 27 now. But over the years, you know, I've been very aware that sometimes I've been doing ministry with Jesus, very closely with Jesus. Religion is when God, like Elvis, has left the building. close now in our final song, which is, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word to our hearts tonight. Lord, we just pray that we, your people, would be listening for your voice and filled with your spirit, Lord, and listening, Lord, and being willing to do what you tell us to do. And Lord, may we all be sure that we are indeed walking in a real, living, saving relationship with you, that we all have invited Jesus to be our Savior, and Lord, we all know his presence with us day by day. Cause us to meditate on your word this night and throughout the coming week, we pray. And now, Lord, take us all to our homes in safety, we pray. And we do pray that tonight and through the coming week, your grace, mercy, and peace would be with us all. Amen.